to a T, almost every single member of the NBC News leadership team from Cesar Conde on down either encouraged this effort or at least signed off on it.
Welcome to the Powers That Be Daily, Puck's podcast focused on the intersection of Wall Street, Washington, Silicon Valley, and Hollywood, and the players who run it all. I'm Peter Hamby. It's Thursday, March 28th. Today, I'm joined by Dylan Byers to talk about the calamitous hiring and then firing of former RNC chairwoman Ronna McDaniel from NBC News after a remarkable on-air rebellion by NBC talent. How did NBC executives bungle this so badly? What is the fallout inside the newsroom? And what does the debacle say about NBCU president Cesar Conde and his relationship with the headstrong talent who occupy the anchor chairs at 30 Rock? Dylan has all the answers. We'll discuss all that and much, much more on today's episode of The Powers That Be. Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. See how you profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/powersthatbe, netsuite.com/powersthatbe. That's netsuite.com/powersthatbe. Happy Thursday, everybody. I am joined today by Dylan Byers to talk about the media story of the week, which one of our clever headline writers at Puck termed Ronna Gazzi. I love our headline writers, Dylan. This is, of course, about the on-air insurrection at NBC News over the hiring of former Republican National Committee Chair Ronna McDaniel, who had a job as a contributor at NBC and MSNBC for about a week, less than a week. She was being paid about $300,000 to deliver typical pundit analysis on the shows, to be on call. Dylan, your piece was really detailed and pulled back the curtain on a lot of stuff I didn't know, but also did a really good job of the play-by-play of this on-air revolt, which was really started by Chuck Todd, who on his former show, Meet the Press, talking to Kristen Welker, after she interviewed Ronna, in which she excused away what she said on Trump's behalf because she had to take one for the team as RNC chair. There is so much to talk about here, Dylan. I don't even know where to start. We have two segments here, so let's just take it back. How did this happen in the first place?
At the macro level, by a little bit of ineptitude on the leadership front. Look, I think that both you and I know, Peter, we have been in this for been in the media world now for each of us more than a decade. The revolving door between political officialdom, whether that is the White House or Capitol Hill or, you know, press secretaries and communications directors, that is a well-trodden path to cable news or to broadcast news. Historically, those people have not do not have on their CV having participated or enabled in trying to undermine a presidential election. Obviously, Ronna McDaniel had sort of aligned herself with Trump. And somehow, for some reason, that was something that the executives at NBC News decided to sort of overlook or thought might be tolerated by the journalists and the pundits at the network. Obviously, as we know now, that was not the case. I think what I find so interesting here is that in the wake of this clusterfuck, frankly, so many of those NBC News executives are predictably trying to distance themselves from what happened here, or trying to pin this on specific executives or newsroom leaders, namely Carrie Budoff Brown, political SVP, and throw her under the bus. And while she spearheaded this effort, what my reporting has revealed is that to a T, almost every single member of the NBC News leadership team from Cesar Conde on down either encouraged this effort or at least signed off on it. And that goes all the way to MSNBC President Rashida Jones, who, you know, initially this was going to be an NBC News contributor deal. And weeks before it was closed, Rashida Jones came in and said she also wanted Ronna McDaniel to be an MSNBC news contributor. And of course, Cesar Conde, the chairman of the NBC News Group, which oversees both NBC News and MSNBC, he signed off on this as well. So I think there was a failure here to sort of anticipate the level of outrage this was going to create, and certainly a failure to anticipate the sort of on-air mutiny that Chuck Todd set in motion and then took place across MSNBC airwaves on Monday.
I completely agree with you on the failure to see around the bend. My question for Carrie Budoff Brown and Rashida and Cesar, do you watch your own network? It is a 24/7 chorus of fury against Trump and his attempts to undermine democracy and what's at stake in November.
Yes.
There are... Maybe there's not many, but there are Republicans out there who aren't, by the way, Michael Steele and Nicole Wallace and Tim Miller types who long ago stopped being actual Republicans. There are Republicans out there who are Trumpy, who are trade protectionists, who are culture warriors, who didn't actively participate in a scheme to get electors to not certify Joe Biden's election. And so the failure of leadership at a place where talent themselves wield a lot of power, and on top of that, are righteous about democracy, is flabbergasting to me. I also believe the failure of imagination with all of these cable networks, but you know, in this case, NBC is guilty of this a lot, to look outside of fucking Washington. I remember Amy Antelis, who is the head of talent at CNN at the time, much more senior position there now, came into Mark Preston's office, and I was sitting there, and I want to say this was 2011 or something. And to her great credit, she was trying to diversify the on-air voices, but also trying to sniff out ideas for people who weren't the usual rotating deck chair, former party chairman, generic political strategist, like the warmed over bodies of Washington who say the same shit all the time, who hang out together in green rooms. And I'm not taking credit for their careers at all because they're talented, but I was like, talk to Bakari Sellers. He's a state legislator down in South Carolina. Talk to Anna Navarro, who at the time was, you know, on the donor circuit in Florida. And those are people outside of Washington who are entertaining and compelling. You make a great point in your piece. You're quoting somebody anonymously by saying, what does Ronna McDaniel bring to the table, even if she wasn't helping Donald Trump try to steal the election?
Right.
She's not
right.
particularly great on camera. She was also forced out of the RNC by Trump's campaign and Trump. And the people who presumably would give NBC access to town halls, to interviews, you know, these things are very often access plays. She doesn't have the same juice that she did just a month ago because the entire RNC has been gutted and restocked with people more loyal to Donald Trump. And she very much, you know, hired CIA and went the green room route. It's like, what does she bring
right.
to the table here? It's just a right. baffling
and
decision all around.
That's right. I think most people are focusing on the sort of the moral question here, which is, do you hire someone who tried to undermine the presidential election and who aligned themselves so closely with Trump? But to your point, there is also just a far more basic strategic calculation. To your point, what value does she bring to the table? She, as one former political official now in television told me, she's not entertaining and she's not an expert. So what's the point? And, you know, many people have were in my ear this week saying this. It's like, okay, she obviously doesn't appeal to the liberal crowd. She's got too much of the Trump stink on her to appeal to the moderate, never Trump Republican group. And she was ostracized from Trump world and kicked out for somehow failing Trump's loyalty test, and does not have probably nearly the level of access or insight into all of that that the NBC News officials probably thought that she did. Now, at the same time, there's been a lot of ink has been spilled this week over this whole revolving door and whether or not news networks should hire these people. I would argue that in some cases, these folks do bring insight and experience and authority. I think when you're talking about someone like a David Axelrod or even a Karl Rove, like, these guys have like been on the front lines, they've seen some things, and for their respective constituencies can mm-hmm. offer some valuable insight. I would say that's probably true too of people who have actually run for office. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go out and you want to hire the Michael Steeles or the Rens Priebuses, fine. Certainly they have a title that might sound impressive to the average viewer, but in Ronna McDaniel, just in light of the current political landscape, in light of the Trump of it all, it's not worth the bargain. And I think, you know, part of what I think happened here, because what I write about a lot in my piece is that, you know, you've got at the top of NBC News a sort of corporate steward and sort of like career political operator in Cesar Conde, who wants nothing to do with the tough editorial calls and has said as much to the people at mm-hmm. NBC News. He's just running the business. And he is put in charge of all of the various pieces of the NBC News group, a lot of different leaders who basically manage their fiefdoms and are oftentimes working at cross purposes with one another. And there is no sort of creative impresario, Jeff Zucker, Andy Lack, even despite all his sins, Roger Ailes type, who is sitting at the top of this news organization, exercising some editorial judgment and saying, here's what we should do. Here's why this is smart. Here's why we should book, should hire, should not book, should not hire. And that vacancy and Cesar Conde's inability to be that leader and his failure to appoint someone to be that leader, I think, is what left the network vulnerable here. It's worked fine for a time because, you know, NBC News is this beast. And yes, the Today Show is the Today Show, and Maddow is Maddow, and CNBC is CNBC, and it all works fine. But inevitably in this business, people will fuck up. And when people fuck up, there has to be someone there who can sort of pump the brakes or slow things down and lead the organization as a true leader and recognize, to your point, that Ronna McDaniel was going to run into a great deal of opposition at this network.
I want to ask you more about Cesar's leadership style and his relationship with the talent at NBC after the break. I do want to make clear, though, I think you and I are aligned on the reality of television, the bargains you have to make, the kinds of people you hire who do have insight. I am not a Jeff Jarvis, Jay Rosen type sitting on a couch uh-huh. in the ivory tower tweeting do better at news organizations. That's not my view of journalism. I'm an idealist in many ways, and I'm a pragmatist in others. There are people, again, I think you can hire. It just seems like this boneheaded groupthink from Cesar and Carrie Budoff Brown and Rebecca Blumenstein and Rashida that just kind of snowballed, this kind of inertia that turned into a ticking time bomb, and Chuck Todd sort of hit the detonator. Clearly, I want to take a quick break, Dylan, and talk about some of the talent who erupted over this week when we come back. Are you tired of sleeping hotter than hell? I sure am. I sleep hot. There's something crucial about sleep that eludes us when we're too warm, too uncomfortable, and too caught in the web of our own thoughts to drift off. And while curiosity fuels our days, science tells us that cool sleep recharges our nights. That's where ChiliPad by Sleep Me comes in. Meet the bed cooling system that elevates the quality of human life through cool sleep. The ChiliPad bed cooling system is your new bedtime solution. I love it. It lets you customize your sleeping environment to your optimal temperature, ensuring you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. ChiliPad works with your existing mattress. It's a water-based mattress topper that continuously controls your bed temperature from 55 to 115 degrees, allowing your body to rest and recover. This isn't just about escaping the heat, it's also about optimizing your sleep for better health, more energy, and improved physical and cognitive performance, which I obviously need hosting a podcast. Chili pads are designed for one or two sleepers, so if your sleep partner likes to sleep at a different temperature, or you only need it for one side of the bed, that's okay too, and we know that's crucial. Plus, you can schedule automated temperature changes to trigger deep sleep. But when I'm at home, Chili Pad solves those problems. So trust me on this one. Visit sleep.me/powers to get your Chili Pad and save up to $315 with code POWERS. This offer is available exclusively for Powers That Be listeners and only for a limited time. Order it today with free shipping and try it out for 30 days. You can return it for free if you don't like it with their sleep trial. Visit www.sleep.me/powers because you're not just investing in better sleep, you're creating a better life.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to The Powers That Be. I am talking about the fallout from Ronna McDaniel being hired and then fired by NBC in the course of a few days with my pal and colleague, Dylan Byers, former NBC employee, I should say. Knowing that, Dylan, and knowing Chuck Todd, who was the first person to come out criticizing McDaniel after this hire, after literally right after McDaniel appeared before him on Meet the Press last Sunday, he was the first person to say, I've worked at this network for the last 6 or 7 years when she was chairwoman of the Republican Party. We have dealt with character assassination. These are his words. Gaslighting. She is not an honest broker. She wants to say what she wants to say to us right now here at NBC because she just signed a deal with us and she wants to make nice with her new colleagues. And Chuck basically said, that's gross. Why do you think Chuck was the first person to come out and say this? Because you know that Joy Reid and you know that Rachel Maddow and you know that Joe and Mika and probably a variety of more straight-laced people on NBC felt this privately. Why do you think he was the first person to come out and say it?
Yeah, well, first of all, you're right. They did feel it privately. And I don't think that this would have turned into the sort of 24-hour, you know, flagellation session on MSNBC that it did if Chuck hadn't been the first person to speak out. I think I see a couple of things there. I've obviously covered Chuck Todd for a very long time, and I think I have a pretty good idea of what makes him tick. I think there are two things. One, I do think he, you know, look, this is a guy who was sort of mentored by Tim Russert, who has been at NBC News, I think, for almost two decades, certainly been going on that network for longer, and who sort of believes in the sort of terrible as it sounds, like believes in the brand and believes in the mission and the legacy of NBC, of Meet the Press. And I think that he has chafed for quite a while now at the new leadership. I think he has chafed at his own sort of demotion from Meet the Press, which is a seat as moderator that I think he coveted since working with Russert. I think that he chafes at the sort of, you know, Cesar Conde as this sort of operator who isn't really ultimately interested in the mission of NBC News and is sort of more interested in his own career. And I think he chafes at some of the decisions that have been made by the organization that he feels have not been good for NBC or specifically Meet the Press, such as the decision to sort of throw Kristen Welker, his successor, into an interview with Trump that did not go very well in her inaugural maiden voyage as the moderator of Meet the Press. And so I think that sort of latent frustration coupled with his sense that hiring Ronna McDaniel and paying her $300,000 to come on the network that to gaslight and lie to, and that she had gone to war with on behalf of Trump, it was just too much. And frankly, Chuck Todd is at a point in his career where he can jump on that grenade. He can go out there and do that because I think he knows his own position in the sort of DC political media establishment, his own position at NBC. And he also knew that he had the organization at his back. And I mean, like, not just his colleagues. I mean, I'm like going to, people have called me and said they've been in like makeup rooms where people are talking about this. Like, he knew that what he was doing was going to work because he had the organization at his back. And when he did that, he gave the green light to everyone at MSNBC to speak out and to speak out forcefully. And I think what it demonstrated, certainly with Chuck, but far more with Rachel Maddow, Joe Scarborough, the Nicole Wallace, the big talent, is that at the end of the day, those guys run the place and they have the leverage to exercise and flex that muscle when they want to. Indeed, because of that sort of lack of like a big authoritative leader that I mentioned earlier.
The last thing I want to ask you, Dylan, and I sort of think we might have already answered this, but I do want to give air to what conservatives and Republicans are saying about this, which is that, you know, predictably, by the way, and probably a lot of it in bad faith, that NBC hates conservatives. This is another example of the liberal news media. And they're, I think it was Jesse Waters who said NBC News is not a business. They're a political operation on Fox. He said that on Fox. typical, predictable, et cetera. But that's included funny. In those criticisms over the last week is that NBC and MSNBC hired Jen Psaki almost directly from the Biden White House to host a show. Simone Sanders, former Biden spokesperson, she was hired directly to host a show and be on NBC and MSNBC. Again, I think we've answered this. Neither of those two people were named in a Georgia racketeering case about how Donald Trump was trying to overturn the results of the election in a variety of states. Right. They didn't go on Fox News and say that there were stolen votes. But, you know, what is your just response to that?
Yeah, well, look, first of all, yes, there's a very significant distinction here. There's even a distinction between CNN hiring Corey Lewandowski in the 2016 race, much as audiences may have hated him. To your point, he did not try to overthrow an election and then lie about it. Maybe that was a matter of timing. But I think this highlights a much broader challenge in media now, which is definitely obviously taking place at NBC, but certainly one that we've seen a lot at CNN. We spend so much time talking about the sort of economic pressures on this industry, and I think those really are the existential pressures. But there's another pressure here from the sort of fracturing of America politically and culturally that makes it very hard to fulfill the mission that a CNN or even an NBC News has historically set out to fulfill, which is how do we provide perspectives from various sides of not just Republican and Democrat, but how do we provide perspectives from different sides of the aisle and different sides of the political spectrum? And when you arrive at the moment when Trump becomes the Republican, you know, sort of the face of the Republican Party, and MAGA Republicans are willing to lie, are willing to spout conspiracy theories, are willing, frankly, to engage in just total, utter bullshit with very little disregard for the truth, it becomes very hard from a programming perspective to figure out how you are going to fulfill the mission of giving voice to that side of the country. And that is a very big side of the country. And that is just a challenge to simultaneously uphold the values of a news organization. Even if you want to have political debate and opinion and analysis and all that, and simultaneously be representative of the country, this is why, you know, the sort of the effort at CNN under Warner Brothers Discovery, first by Chris Licht and now by Mark Thompson, to try and represent that broad swath of the country, this is why it is so hard. How do you do it when one of the sort of like pillars of modern day MAGA Trump Republicanism is to basically play outside of the realm of fact. It's outside of the realm of truth. It's really just sort of a willingness to be disingenuous in terms of how you play the game. It's very hard to figure out how to program that adequately. And I think that is a challenge that CNN and NBC News are going to constantly find themselves facing. Because the loyalty test on the Trump side is so high. If you are not willing to suggest that Biden is not the legitimate president of the United States, perhaps you do not pass that loyalty test. And most news networks can't tolerate that. So it's very hard, and perhaps never the twain shall meet.
This is a whole other podcast and a whole other story for you to write. I know this tension has been there for years, but another side story here is the tension editorially between NBC News and MSNBC. I mean, just like flaring in the biggest way during this. But you know what? Kristen Welker is going to have a way better weekend this weekend than she thought she would, having to cringe through talking to Ronna McDaniel. She doesn't have to worry about that anymore.
That's right.
Dylan, amazing story, right at the intersection of politics and media. That's what we love here at Puck. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Peter. You too.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of The Powers That Be. As a reminder, The Powers That Be is the official podcast of Puck. We'd like to thank Ben Landy, Liz Goff, and Alex Bigler for their editorial and production guidance. If you like what you hear, please share with a friend. It really helps us keep delivering the inside scoop that only Puck can offer. Follow us on Twitter at Puck News. I'm Ben Landy. See you tomorrow. This has been a presentation of Odyssey. Please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes wherever you get your podcasts. The Powers That Be Daily is executive produced by John Kelly, co-founder of Puck, Bob Tabador, and Ben Landy, executive editor at Puck.